Okay, we're good. Good morning, everyone. We'll call the meeting to order. Welcome to the May 12th, 2026 meeting of the Sussex County Council. And first is the approval of the agenda. Mr. Lawson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Good morning, members of council. I do have a couple changes today. First, under Mike Harmer, County Engineer, item 1A, Electrical Construction Project S-2409, we can strike that item. And I want to announce the first public hearing in the afternoon will also be stricken. We'll make that announcement at the 1:30 public hearings.
Okay. Well, entertain a motion to approve the agenda.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Riley.
Second.
Second, Mr. Lloyd. Any questions? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mr. McCarron.
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd.
Yes.
Ms. Grunebaum.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried. Next is the approval of the minutes of April 28, 2026 and May 5th, 2026. Are there any questions, additions, or deletions? Hearing none, they'll stand approved. Reading of correspondence, Mr. Moore.
I have none, Mr. President.
Okay, thank you. Next up, public comment. Okay, you'll need to sign up, but hey, we'll get you. Now's the time for public comment. You'll have 3 minutes to comment on something the county has clear jurisdiction over. And when the green light comes on, you'll have 3 minutes. When the yellow light comes on, you will have 1 minute. And when the red light comes on, I'm going to ask you to wrap it up. And it looks like we have one here. Come on up. Good morning. Please give us your name and address.
Yes, my name is Michelle Steinhauer, and I live at 35247 Pilot Boat Drive in Breakwater Community. Our community borders the moorings, and I just wanted to state here that many of us in the Breakwater community don't think that the notice for CZ2033 was sufficient. Or fair, as it didn't inform the public what was being proposed or by whom, and therefore we didn't have ample time to try to navigate this not so easy process.
Excuse me, Mr. President. This is on a matter that we're voting on today, and because we're voting on it today, we cannot take any more evidence or any more testimony or anything concerning that.
I'm sorry, we can't.
Okay, all right, thank you.
All right, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Moore. Okay, operator, would you check online, please? Oh, I'm sorry.
If there's anybody on the line.
I think the operator is waiting on you, Mr. President. I didn't know if you...
He just said, is there anyone online? He didn't say it yet that there was no one. And I was going to call on her right after that. Okay, so you won't be speaking then. Okay, thank you. Operator? Okay.
If there is anybody on the line that would like to speak, please dial 5-star. I repeat, if there is anybody on the line that would like to make a public comment, please dial 5-star.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, we'll go ahead and close public comment. Next is the consent agenda. We have 3 items. First one is the use of existing wastewater infrastructure agreement, IUA 1283. It's a convenience store with gas. It's a Wawa Western Sussex area. The next is the use of existing wastewater infrastructure agreement, IUA 1284, Clubhouse Crossing in the Millville area. And the last is the use of existing wastewater infrastructure agreement, IUA 1296, Dartmouth Independent Living, LIC Housing, West Rehoboth area. Okay, we'll entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Riley.
Second.
Second, Ms. Grunebaum. Any questions? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. I don't have to take a vote on this. Okay, Mr. McCarron?
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd?
Yes.
Ms. Gruenbaum?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried. Next, County Administrator, Mr. Lawson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Again, good morning, council members. I'm going to lead you through a quick PowerPoint on this agenda item. We're here to talk about the Delaware Opioid Settlement Commission grants that the council will decide on today. A little quick history recall. Back in February, we were joined by Director Brad Owens, the director of the Delaware Opioid Commission, who explained that the commission had decided to provide direct funding to eligible local municipalities and distribute that funding to those municipalities to decide how to administer local grants. The commission, through the local government committee, ran a formula and provided the amount of money to each municipality. In our case, Sussex County is provided nearly $480,000 in this first year round of grants. Based on your, the guidance that was given was that the local government committee would make sure that these grants are utilized using the National Opioid Settlement Agreement, known as Exhibit E, which lists the items that you are eligible to spend funding on from the national settlement funds. Sussex put a priority on grants that would focus on treatment and recovery. With that guidance, staff created an application that went live on April 14th and then closed on May 4th. The county received 25 grant applications. With all the grants that we received, the grant request exceeded $2.5 million. Sussex staff reviewed and ranked the applications. We then sent the applications to the Opioid Commission. Their staff reviewed the applications and concurred with our ranking and selection. Through that process, we are recommending 5 applications to be forwarded on to the commission for final processing. Now, you have seen all 25 of the applications. That spreadsheet that we shared with you has all the information on it. That information is what we utilize to rank the applications, putting an emphasis on recovery and treatment, but also looking at things like past performance and whether or not they've received grant funding from the commission through prior rounds to make sure that they have experience and the performance is such that we don't feel there's a risk with this funding. With that information, here's the list of 5 that we are recommending to move on to the full commission. Impact Life, they're requesting $200,000. Fisher of Men Foundation, requesting $291,000. Delmarva Adult and Teen Challenge, requesting $200,000. Atricare, $75,000. And Delaware Psychological Services, LLC. If you add the amount up that the 5 grants have or requested, that exceeds the amount of money that we are allocated. So our recommendation is to provide funding for the 2 on the bottom, 75 and 55 respectively, and then divide up the remaining funding to the top 3, which equals about $116,000. With that recommendation, what happens next? If you do approve these recommendations, those 5 applications funding recommendations will be forwarded on to the Opioid Commission. They will review the same application and they will go through their process of providing final approval. They'll send that final approval back down to the county and then you will vote for a second time on the final selections and the funding amount. And then those applicants will work directly with the commission to receive their funding. The county really doesn't have the funding in-house. It's all our selection and then pass through. Eventually, they will work directly with the commission, who is equipped with the proper grant infrastructure to allocate those funds. And I will pause there and see if there's any questions or comments.
Any questions?
I think you just said it pretty clearly, but just to confirm, the
whatever is determined today gets sent to the state. They'll review it, send it back. We bless off on it again, or it's blessed off at that point?
You'll vote one more time in June.
Okay.
Because really, they're the last review process, and they will make sure that should they be selected by the county, they would be then granted the funding. Our selection was based on performance and the application. They're focused on recovery and treatment. They're and they're meeting the needs that you feel was important.
Yeah.
And then their selection is going to verify that they can receive the funding.
I just want to say two of the organizations I think that have been recommended here are in the first district, and I've done tours in these facilities and personally met some of those that are results of these programs for treatment and recovery, and I'm just happy to see the money hopefully gets doled out to these top five. I've just seen the quality of the effort and the results. I'm just happy they're gonna, you know, hopefully get this money and help some more people. So,
okay. Anyone else? I think we're good.
I have a motion for your consideration.
Please give us your motion.
Be it moved, the Sussex County Council approves the five organizations and funding recommendations as presented to be forwarded to the Opioid Commission for review and final approval.
Okay, pleasure of council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Lloyd.
Second.
Second, Mr. McCarron. Are there any questions? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mr. McCarron.
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd.
Yes.
Ms. Bernabeu.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next up, County Administrator's report for May 12th. Item 1, per the attached Engineering Department fact sheet, the estates at Bridgewater, Phase 3A, construction record, received substantial completion effective April 23rd. Item 2, it's with great sadness that we inform you, pensioner Valerie Wing passed away on Sunday, April 26, 2026. Ms. Wing began her career in Sussex County in January 2000, where she worked until February of 2012 for a total of 12 years of service. Her last position with the county was Clerk 3 in the Assessment Division. We would like to extend our condolences to the Wing family. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you very much. Next, Mr. Whitehouse. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. President, members of council. We have a time extension request before us today. This is a time extension request for Georgetown Business Plaza LLC, which County Council may remember from conditional use number 2371, which was approved by Council at its meeting of March 28th of 2023. It was approved for a three-year period subject to those 16 conditions of approval for a business park to include warehouses and office buildings within an AR1 agricultural district for lands located on the southwest side of Prettyman Road, which is Sussex County Route 254, approximately 0.52 miles northwest of the Lewis Georgetown Highway, which is Route 9, on a 22.29-acre parcel. The department received a letter on February 5th of this year requesting a six-month time extension request to implement that conditional use. 6 months is the maximum that can be granted, and in accordance with the procedure as outlined in code that was presented to the Planning and Zoning Commission at its meeting of April 15th of this year, the Commission recommended that County Council approve the six-month time extension for the reasons as outlined by the applicant in their submitted letter. And, Mr. President, including your paperless package is a memo summarizing all of this.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, pleasure of council.
Question, if they are unsuccessful in completing or getting started within the six-month time frame, then is there another one available, or that's it?
The one time only.
One time only.
They okay. will have to reapply.
Just want to be clear about that. Okay. All right.
But they just have to get underway. They don't have to finish.
I understand. They have to start. Yeah. Yeah. Got it.
Okay. Pleasure of council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Riley.
Second.
Second, Mr. McCarron. Are there any questions? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mr. Riley, it's in your district.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Mr. McCarron.
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd.
Yes.
Ms. Gornabau.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next, Mr. Mike Harmer, County Engineer. Morning.
Morning. We're Council President.
Morning.
Which one was it again you're deleting? I forget.
The electrical.
Okay. 1A, right?
That's correct. All right, so first of four briefings here. This first one's for Wolf Neck. The council memo in your packets contains a history of the Lewis Board of Public Works and the county agreements. I'm here today just to brief a change order 5 to the Denali sludge removal agreement. If you recall, to expand the Wolf Neck wastewater treatment plant, we must remove all the legacy biosolids from Lagoon 1. At this point, nearly all the water has been removed from Lagoon 1, and at Wolf Neck, it's become evident that from previous estimates of the remaining solids, the quantity underestimated the actual remaining quantity. So based on the recent observations, our team recommends the unit quantity will need to be increased again by 1,250 tons, dry tons, for a total of $1,666,250. It's also noted that additional costs on site will be required for project completion. Firstly, the intent of the project completion is to remove all the sludge that's not mixed, so we don't send sand to the landfill. So we're going to disc in lime at the bottom once we get to the bottom and construct a temporary access road. So at this point, it's anticipated that this will require some additional funds, and we're putting an allowance in the approval request of $333,750. So in summary, the engineering department requests approval of change order number 5, increasing the unit quantity of the bottom sludge removal in Lagoon 1 at the Wolf Neck Regional Wastewater Facility for a total of $1,666,250 and providing for the allowance of $333,750 for additional costs, resulting in a total of $2 million to change order number 5. And I've got a motion if you guys, unless you have any questions.
Doesn't Denali mean the big one?
I'm sorry, John. Denali? Councilman Riley.
Isn't the definition of Denali?
Denali is the big sludge. One. That's the name of the corporation. It is the sludge removal contractor.
Well, please give us your motion.
All right. Be it moved, based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department, that change order number 5 to the Wolf Neck Regional Wastewater Facility Denali Sludge Removal Agreement be approved, increasing the contract by $2 million for additional sludge removal from Lagoon 1 and an allowance for site work and associated services at the Wolf Neck Regional Wastewater Facility.
Okay. Pleasure of council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Riley.
Second.
Second, Mr. McCarron. Any questions on the motion? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mr. McCarron.
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd.
Yes.
Ms. Grunewald.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
All right. Thank you. The second briefing is related to the Sussex County Administration Building. So back this building, the construction of this building was completed in December of 1996. Since then, limited renovations have been completed, and upgrades and limited upgrades, and a majority of the mechanical, electrical, and plumbing systems in the building are beginning to fail at an increasing rate. So in coordination with Facilities Management Division, which is under engineering, we developed a scope of work based upon identified needs and initiated a proposal request from DEDC LLC. The scope of work includes replacement of the council chambers, heating and ventilation systems, replacement of outside air units, boiler replacement, building automation control system replacement for the entire building. There's a condenser water loop that runs around and some other HVAC things in as contained in your memo. But and also, though not directly related to the admin building, we're going to take a look at the transformer that feeds the annex building, because we are purchasing the annex building from the state, and the feed for the electrical to the annex buildings comes from the state. So if we can't work out an agreement, DP&L would like that transformer possibly changed. We're meeting with DP&L this week to talk to them about that transformer. But we're going to take a look at that and be ready for refeeding the annex building in the future if needed. So the engineering department would like to exercise our right to tag onto the State of Delaware contract OMB 242422 statewide major capital projects to enter into a professional services agreement with DEDC LLC, who is an awarded engineering firm on the state contract. The department anticipates a design kickoff will occur within 1 week of council approval, with the goal of bidding the project by the fall of or winter of 2026. The engineering department requests county Council's approval of the proposal with DEDC LLC in the amount of $253,860 for the various renovations in the administration building. And I have a motion if there's, unless there's any questions.
Okay.
Please give us your motion.
All right. Be it moved, based upon a recommendation of Sussex County Engineering Department, the County Council approved the DEDC LLC Building Systems Modifications and Renovations Proposal in the amount of $253,860 for various renovations within the administration building.
Okay, pleasure of council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Ms. Quirnabaum.
Second.
Second, Mr. Lloyd. Are there any questions? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mr. McCarron.
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd.
Yes.
Ms. Quirnabaum.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
All right. Thank you. Third briefing is associated with the Sussex County landfills site maintenance. So in 2017, the request for proposals for a five-year landfill maintenance agreement covering all six county-owned legacy landfills was approved by council. The selected contractor was William F. Betts II, with a base bid of $18,900 for the first year of work, decreasing to $18,200 for subsequent contract years. On August 10th, 2021, Council approved a modification to the landfill maintenance contract authorizing a performance-based year-over-year continued contract with consumer price index adjustments starting in the year of 2022. So the contract includes like one spring and one fall mowing of the access ways with cutting to allow for the required inspections and sampling and monitoring of the wells at the landfills per the DENREC approved operation and maintenance plan. Basically, the engineering department is aware that there's numerous down trees based on this winter's two pretty severe storms. And we experienced the same thing in our wastewater treatment plants and our pump stations, lots of down trees. Limbs and foliage from winter storms that currently block access in many locations. The extent of the cutting and clearing work necessary to restore the access ways is considered well beyond the maintenance contract scope. Therefore, the engineering department requests approval of change order number one of the fiscal year 2026 contract to be authorized in a not to exceed amount of $14,400 for additional hourly rate services related to winter storm cleanup at the county-owned landfill sites. And I have a motion unless there's any questions.
Okay, please give us your motion.
Be it moved based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department that change order number one to the landfill maintenance contract for additional hourly services be provided in a not to exceed value of $14,400.
Okay, pleasure of council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Riley.
Second.
Second, Ms. Quirnabaum. Any questions? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mr. McCarron.
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd.
Yes.
Ms. Quirnabaum.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
All right. The final one that I'm going to brief before Paul comes up is associated with the general labor and equipment contract for fiscal year 26, that'd be change order two, and a one-year extension for the next fiscal year. So the best value bidding for the general labor and equipment contract is contained in your memo, in the council packets. So I'll just get right down to the services that we're requesting for. So a little history on the change orders to date is on December 16th, 2025, Council approved change order number one for this contract in the not to exceed amount of $2.5 million for the Ocean Outfall and the Kent Avenue projects that we completed. After reviewing financial statements from the March 2026 for the general labor and equipment contract for the remaining expenses for fiscal year 26, we're recommending a change order number two in the not to exceed amount of $2.5 million. Which will bring the fiscal year 2026 total to $10 million. Included in this amount are the Savannah Road sewer repairs and Jungle Gems Force Main project, and funding will cover $2.2 million needed to cover the remaining known project expenses and cover costs for any emergency repairs that we are not anticipating at this time. Furthermore, George and Lynch is the contractor that is in that contract. Their contract expires on June 30th, 2026. Therefore, the engineering department recommends council also approve the second one-year extension in the budgeted amount of $7 million contingent upon approval of the fiscal year 27 budget. This contract, just for information purposes, will be up for rebid next spring for the fiscal year 28 year. And I have a motion, unless there's any questions.
Okay, please give us your motion.
All right. Be it moved, based upon the recommendation of Sussex County Engineering Department, that the fiscal year 26 change order number 2 for contract number 25-01, fiscal year general labor and equipment, be approved, which increases the contract amount by $2.5 million for a new total of $10 million, and to approve the second one-year contract extension in the amount of up to $7 million at the unit prices previously bid, contingent upon approval of the fiscal year 27 budget.
Okay, pleasure of council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Lloyd.
Second.
Second, Mr. McCarron. Any questions on the motion? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mr. McCarron.
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd.
Yes.
Ms. Grunebaum.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried.
Thank you, and that's actually Mark Parker's up next.
Yeah. I was going to ask if you wanted me to skip down, but
that's good.
Mr. Mark Parker.
Morning, council members. Quick one for me this morning, very quick. New Medic Station 101 proposed up in the Lincoln area. Your memo includes, obviously, some of the background on the project, which is a continuation of application of our EMS prototype building that we came up with. We applied it to Station 103 in Millsboro, which was commissioned last year, so we're going to continue the program. Construction documents were prepared by a design consultant, which in this case was GMB. Earlier this year, we advertised the project on March 24th, had a lot of good interest, as expected, from the bidding community. April 24th, we opened bids and got a total of 6 bids. The low price bid was actually submitted by Infinity Construction and Development. However, after fully vetting the company, we felt that they did not fully meet the requirements of a responsible bid, which means their specific experience we felt was not a full match for the project scope as defined in the contract document. So as a result of this, we proceeded to the next lowest price bid, which was submitted by the Wayland Company, and we determined that in fact their bid was both responsible and responsive. So that being the next lowest bid, the engineering department is recommending award of the project to the Wayland Company. Unless there's any questions, I have a quick motion to read.
Okay, please give us your motion.
Be it moved, based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department, that contract C21-15, Lincoln Paramedic Station 101, be awarded to the Wayland Company for their base bid amount of $2,208,000.
Okay, pleasure of council.
Motion to approve.
Motion, Mr. McCarron.
Second.
Second, Ms. Grunebaum. Any questions on the motion? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mr. McCarron.
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd.
Yes.
Ms. Grunebaum.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried.
Thank you, council.
Thank you. Next, Mr. Paul Mauser. Morning.
County Council.
Morning.
I have one item to present today, and that is a recommendation of award for the Sussex County Pole Buildings Project, project number G2508. So the county has a need for 3 pole buildings for various storage reasons across the county, including storing vac trucks, supplies, equipment, and tanker trucks. The pole buildings are proposed to be located at South Coastal Treatment Plant, Inland Bays Treatment Plant, and right here at Rudder Lane. They will serve 3 different end users. They'll serve facilities management, utility construction, and environmental services. And we've essentially, I engaged those teams along with the DBF to complete structural, architectural, mechanical, civil, and electrical plans for those various locations. and we publicly bid the project in March of this year, had our bid opening April 29th, and the total base bid came in below the budgeted amount, and I have a motion for council. Those are any questions?
I have one question.
Yep.
Two buildings are the same size, and one is a lot bigger. It's double the length.
That's correct.
Because of necessity?
So we have the buildings at South Coastal and Inland Bays are both 60 by 80. That's 4,800 square feet. That's exclusively for environmental services use. And the building at Rudder Lane is a joint services building. So that'll be shared by utility construction and facilities maintenance. And we closely coordinate it with those two end users on really the exact needs that they have, and came out with that 9,600 square foot building.
Okay.
Probably would have made it larger, but then you get into sprinkler design requirements.
Oh, yeah. Anything over 10,000.
That's correct.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Pleasure of council. I'll give us your motion. I'm sorry.
Okay. Be it moved based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department that contract G2508 Sussex County Pole Buildings be awarded to Delmarva Pole Building Supply Incorporation for their total base bid amount of $1,871,668.
Okay, pleasure of council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Riley.
Second.
Second, Ms. Grunewald. Any questions? Hearing none, we'll take a vote. Mr. McCarron.
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd.
Yes.
Ms. Grunewald.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Okay, thank you, council. Then one note on this project as well is that we believe that we have found a cost savings. There's currently some work contracted with Ronca, our waste treatment plant contractor, for a portion of the building at Inland Bays. And we believe that we'll be able to have the project more competitively priced through our pole building contract. And so I may be coming up before you in a few weeks with a change order that would add to this contract and remove from the Ronca contract, ultimately saving the county a considerable amount of money.
Saving money is always good.
Got it. All right. Thank you, council.
Thank you. Next, Ms. Karen Brewington. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. President, members of council. I'm here today to talk about stop loss insurance. I come up every year for annual renewal. This is also known as excess insurance. It provides protection for self-insured employers by serving as a reimbursement mechanism for catastrophic claims exceeding predetermined levels. Our current annual specific deductible is $295,000 with a $100,000 aggregate specific deductible. Insurance Buyers Council, our consultant, recently completed our RFP. The detailed analysis was included in your packets, and it shows that IBC ultimately received two proposals for consideration. It is IBC's recommendation to accept Highmark's proposal, who we are currently with, and increase the specific deductible from $295,000 to $305,000 per covered participant. And if you have any questions, I can answer those. If not, I have a motion.
Okay.
Coverage for the individual that would be qualified for this coverage.
So it would
limited at some point, or
so what would happen is once you have the first claim that comes in over that $305,000 and over that $100,000 for that specific, then we start getting reimbursements. So right now we have
no limit on the coverage that the patient would require.
No. So it would start paying out as soon as we hit that first claim that hits that threshold, then it starts paying out for those claims over that amount.
We had multiple instances. I mean, there's no cap on the number of people that could, you know, access that.
No, it would be all of our covered members that we are hitting. So we need to have this insurance to make sure that
we need to have it. I just, you know.
Yeah, just to make sure that it hits that threshold and continues to pay for the oncoming claims.
All the entire population of the county employees.
Of our covered members.
And families and everybody's covered.
Correct. And retirees.
And retirees.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. No, I think it's a really good move. Yeah.
Any other questions? Okay. Please give us your motion.
Okay. Be it moved that the Sussex County Council renew its annual contract with Highmark for stop-loss coverage at a rate per month of $66.16 per single coverage and $189.31 family coverage with an annual specific deductible of $305,000 effective May 2026.
Okay, pleasure of council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Riley.
Second.
Second, Ms. Grunebaum. Any questions on the motion? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mr. McCarron.
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd.
Yes.
Ms. Grunebaum.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next, I believe, is old business. Mr. Whitehouse.
Good morning, Mr. President. We have two old business items today. The first is change of zone number 2033, filed on behalf of Spring Point at Lewis Incorporated, care of Garrett T. Midget. And this, County Council remembers, this is a change of zone application that from a MR-RPC to an MR medium density residential planning community to amend the conditions of approval for change of zone number 1528 and change of zone number 1753 at tax parcel 335 map 8 parcel 43.01 for a property lying on the northerly and northwesterly right-of-way line of Gills Neck Road, which is Sussex County Rep 267, approximately 0.2 mile east of Kings Highway, which is Route 9, and the parcel size is 37 acres. County Council may remember this from the public hearing that was held at its meeting of February 10th of this year, after which County Council deferred for further consideration.
Okay.
And just to confirm, PNZ recommended approval?
Correct, for the... I'll give you
with conditions, yeah.
Spring Point at Lewis.
For the seven reasons of as outlined within the motion. So,
okay. Mr. Moore?
Sorry, 11 reasons, sorry, and subject to the seven recommended conditions. Other way, sorry, I transpose. Sorry. Thank you. Mr. Moore is always correcting me. Thank you. He's good. He's got his job.
An ordinance amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an MR-RPC medium density residential planned community district for an MR-RPC medium density residential planned community district and to amend conditions of approval for CZ-1528 ordinance number 1679 and for CZ-1753 ordinance number 2361 for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Sussex County containing 37.97 acres more or less for the reasons given by planning zoning numbered 1 through 11 with conditions 12A through G, and it is my understanding that there may be a possible amendment for this.
Yes. I do have an amendment condition I would like to add, but first I'd like to make a couple comments, and that is to say that I agree with the comments made by Commissioner Collins during the PNC hearing regarding traffic. Although DLDOT determined that this application would have minimal effect on traffic, it will add to an already overburdened road for which there is currently no scheduled date for start of construction. The dangers to our citizens from overburdened road systems is increasing, and every development that adds traffic is a cause for concern. I echo Commissioner Collins' request for this project to work with DLDOT on phasing to the greatest extent possible. Secondly, I appreciate the efforts of the applicant to accommodate those residents who have had to be moved to allow for the apartment building. I also note that it is beyond the scope of this body to be involved in contractual disputes. However, it is more than regrettable that the applicant first created their preferred site plan and then presented it to the affected residents with a finalized design that required their move. Being presented with a fait accompli regarding the ability to stay in your home demonstrates a remarkable lack of respect for existing residents. For many residents, their move to Morin's Cottage was to be their last move. Now, at an advanced age, they are forced to move again. Finally, I would like to offer a condition, and I will read that condition, if I may.
Please.
A revised master plan, either depicting or noting these conditions, must be submitted to the Office of Planning and Zoning. This master plan will include the entire Spring Point at Lewis MR-RPC. This revised master plan shall show a minimum separation distance of 40 feet between the proposed new buildings and any existing buildings adjacent to the application site.
Okay, so Mr. Moore, we need to vote on the amendment first.
And that is deleting the existing F, I believe, replacing it with a new condition F.
Yes, thank you, sorry.
Can I ask why we chose 40 feet? I mean, and I'm wondering if that's an adequate distance.
I can assist with that one. So there already is in code. If within the site, multifamily buildings must be spaced 40 feet apart. So that's a standard between any multifamily block and multifamily block. So if there are townhouses or three-story buildings, there must always be a minimum 40 feet. That's in code right now.
So that's just the minimum. I mean, my farm buildings have to be 50 feet off the line.
Correct. So the code doesn't give rise for increased distances based on height, but that is a factor. But the minimum is 40 feet. So,
if I remember, or I'm sorry, were you done?
Yeah, go ahead.
I know the site plan at the time wasn't like finalized, so exact distances I don't think were rendered on the actual drawing, but does that like inhibit them from being able to do this to the same extent they wanted, you think?
I can call the conceptual plan isn't final, the one that they submitted, but there is a conceptual plan. It is highly likely that any minimum separation requirement would require buildings to be shifted and potentially streets to be shifted. Yeah. So that could result in a change in unit siting or even a reduction in units. I mean, I can call up the conceptual one if you need to see it.
Well, just I remember it, and I was looking at the application, and not to betray my vote, but I just wouldn't want it to inhibit them from being able to do what they're requesting for multiple reasons, which I'll explain in my vote. But okay, that makes sense. And they could always come back and ask for a change if it did inhibit them, probably?
Once this is in the conditions, the only way to amend that condition would be to go back through the legislative process. So they wouldn't be able to, if the condition is changed, they'd have to go through the commission process to get the final site plan and show the commission that they satisfy the condition. But the commission wouldn't be able to override council's condition.
I understood, but just to confirm, they're not going through a whole 18-month hearing wait to get that condition amended, or is it more administrative?
If they came hypothetically, say the condition were placed and they couldn't comply with the condition without losing units, and they wanted to come back and revisit that, back to county council, public hearings, we could do it in under 6 months. We certainly wouldn't put them to the back of the queue if they've already been through it. But you're talking about a whole new legislative process.
That makes sense.
Okay.
Thank you.
So, Mr. Moore, we need to just vote on the amendment.
Yes, and I believe. Yes, and I believe a motion was made, and I'm not sure a second.
Okay.
Was there?
I'll second it.
Okay. Okay, motion, Ms. Grunebaum, second. Mr. Lloyd, on the amendment only. Any questions? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Ms. Grunebaum?
Yes.
Mr. McCarron?
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
And I vote yes on the amendment. Motion carried.
Okay, now I'll read the short title as amended.
Please.
An ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an MRRPC medium density residential planned community district to an MRRPC medium density residential planned community district and to amend conditions of approval for CZ 1538 ordinance number 1679 and for CZ 1753, ordinance number 2361, for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Sussex County containing 37.97 acres, more or less, for the reasons given by planning zoning numbered 1 through 11, with conditions 12A through G, with an amended F.
Okay, pleasure of council.
I'll move for adoption. Oh, sorry.
Ms. Grunebaum?
I'm sorry. Move for adoption.
Motion, Ms. Grunebaum?
Second.
Second, Mr. Lloyd. Any questions? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Ms. Grunebaum?
With considerable regret, I vote yes.
Okay, Mr. McCarron.
I was not present at the meeting where this hearing was held, but I have reviewed the documents and the public hearing. And based upon the testimony and the recommendation of planning and zoning, I vote yes.
Okay, Mr. Lloyd.
We need senior housing in Sussex County, especially on the east side. From the hearing, citizens are staying on site. Services are provided, talking about for the locals that are staying in the moorings. And I thought there was a huge effort by the applicant to accommodate the citizens that live there to get them either rehoused or provide them accommodations accordingly. And so based on the testimony at the hearing and recommendation by P&Z, I vote yes.
Okay, Mr. Riley.
I agree with the remarks made by my fellow council members, but I feel like this process could have been handled much better. Concerns about the impact to their neighboring communities, I don't think was given sufficient weight. And the other issues that we've discussed make it, kind of a disappointing process for me. I will vote yes and agree with planning and zoning's overall recommendation, but, I'm not pleased with the process at all.
Okay. I agree with planning and zoning's recommendations, and I will vote yes as amended. Motion carried.
Thank you. Our next item of old business, Mr. President, is conditional use number 2622 filed on behalf of Tharos Village. County Council may remember this from the public hearing that was held on April 21st of this year. This is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in the C1 General Commercial District to allow an amendment to condition K of conditional use number 2583, which is ordinance number 4003, to allow for the year-round outdoor storage to remain on the property as part of a campground for the unhoused to be located on a 7.16-acre parcel located on the northwest side of the intersection of Coastal Highway and Dartmouth Drive at 17996 Coastal Highway. Lewis and County Council may remember that they deferred for further consideration.
So. Okay, Mr. Moore.
Yes, an ordinance grant a conditional use of land in a C1 general commercial district to amend condition K of conditional use number 2583, ordinance number 4003, to allow for year-round outdoor storage to remain on the property as part of a campground for the unhoused to be located on certain parcel of land lying and being in Sussex County containing 7.16 acres more or less for the reasons given by planning and zoning numbered 1 through 5.
Okay, pleasure of council.
A move for adoption.
Motion, Ms. Gordon.
I do have a question.
Should there be a second first and then discussion or questions.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second, Mr. McCarron. Are there any questions on the motion?
I do. So in the language, can you just clarify, it cited the open no earlier than March 1st and then to stay open no later than a date in November, as well as a request to store, it just said any material?
Pallets.
It was pallets.
Pallets.
So the amendment that's before you right now is not to amend the calendar restrictions that are in place.
Okay.
It is solely to revisit the ability to put outdoor storage, and the reason for that is that the pallets on which the tents are technically outdoor storage, and they would have to be removed with everything else.
And they were mentioned pretty specifically in the hearing.
And I just wanted to confirm that the dates the thing was open did not change. I believe that's true. I'm just wanting to clarify the language. It said to store any material. I know they said pallets, but I just want to be clear what's being requested for here. It technically doesn't specify, unless I got that wrong.
So the wording is just in relation to the outdoor storage. And the new wording is that the operators of the facility may store items or materials associated with the use as permitted by the state of Delaware. So that's the new wording in the conditions.
So anything could be stored on site, notwithstanding pallets, just really anything.
During the time that the site is unoccupied, the operators of the facility may store items or materials associated with the use as permitted. So you are correct that based on its current wording, it would enable storage beyond just the pallets. So, it's not specific to the pallets.
And it's asked for a separate contract, I believe, with the owner basically approved or defined by whatever the owner says is permissible to be stored. Does that sound about right?
Correct. It says as permitted by the state of Delaware. Who's
okay.
The state owner.
I just want to be clear about what's being asked for.
And also, as you indicated, it is only for items associated with this use. So they couldn't just start bringing other materials there.
Okay.
Okay. Where were we? Had motion?
I think we had motion second, I believe.
Yes, that is.
We have a motion and a second.
Yes.
Are there any other questions? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Ms. Grunebaum.
Yes, I want to just be clear that we are not voting on the village itself. That is a different issue. This is purely a vote on whether they can store materials there that this on state property, which the state has said they could do, and for some reason we need to have a vote on it. So just want to be clear about what we're voting on. So yes, I vote yes.
Okay. Mr. McCarron.
I won't restate, but I'll certainly confirm what Ms. Greenbaum has said. This is only about the on-site storage. I was against this, or I don't believe that this is appropriate to be doing, and not for the good volunteers that serve this organization, but just the state needs to step up and do much more at the state level, and that is my disagreement with this project and with this community. But because it is volunteers and they are doing a great job, and this is something that, you know, if they have pallets on site, they certainly should store them on site. And I don't want to vote to put any effort or make them have any more effort into the good work they're doing, even though I disagree with it in principle. I will vote yes because of the, it is a pretty simplistic manner of those pallets probably should not leave, and the good people doing this work, it has already been voted on, and it is already there, so I will vote yes.
Okay, Mr. Loy.
So I said this at the hearing, but it's a tremendous effort by Code Purple, and it's a tremendous effort. It's honorable. I voted no originally for the campground, as it were. I just disagree with it in principle that it be placed there specifically, and so just to remain consistent with that, I'm going to vote no on this condition change.
Okay, Mr. Riley.
I unfortunately was not present for the hearing, so I should recuse on this vote. But I do echo Councilman McCarron's.
Mr. If you recuse at that point, you can't try to influence anyone else.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Moore. Okay, so I agree with Planning and Zoning's recommendation, and I also agree with Ms. Grunebaum and the other. Comments? I vote yes. Motion carried.
Thank you, Ms. President.
Thank you, Jamie.
Okay, next up, grant request. Ms. Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. President. The first grant request is Children's Beach House. They're requesting $5,000 for their youth development program. Last grant received for this program was in the amount of $5,000, which was $1,000 for Ms. Grunebaum, $1,000 for Mr. Hudson, $500 for Mr. Riley, $2,500 from the countywide youth. Mr. Hudson placed on the agenda, and it would still qualify for the $2,500 countywide youth.
Okay. The pleasure of council. Anybody want to?
Oh, sorry. You want to do that? And then whatever you want to do.
I'll do $2,500 from the youth county youth program.
And you can.
And $1,000.
Okay. Okay, so we have a total of $3,500 now. Motion, Ms. Grunebaum.
I'll second that.
Second, Mr. Lloyd. Any questions on the motion? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Ms. Grunebaum.
Yes.
Mr. McCarron.
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Okay, the next one is the History Book Festival at Lewis. They're requesting $2,500 for their history book authors in schools and community outreach program. Last grant received for this program was the amount of $2,000, which was $1,000 for Mr. Schaefer, $500 for Mr. Hudson, and $500 for Mr. Riley, and Ms. Grunebaum placed on the agenda.
Ms. Grunebaum?
Yes, I'd like.
Okay. Anyone else? Motion, Ms. Grunebaum, to grant $2,000 to the History Book Festival at Lewis.
Second.
Second. Mr. Lloyd, any questions? Hearing none, we'll take a vote. Ms. Grunebaum.
Yes.
Mr. McCarron.
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Okay, the next one is American Legion Post 8 is requesting $2,500 for their Emergency Aid to Veterans Project. Last grant received for this program was in the amount of $2,200, which was $200 for Mr. Lloyd and $2,000 for Mr. Riley, and Mr. Riley placed on the agenda.
Can you give me my balance again, please?
Sure. It is $7,700.
Down to the end of the year here. I would like to move to grant $1,500 from my account for this.
Okay. Motion, Mr. Riley, to grant $1,500 to the American Legion Post number 8, Georgetown. I would grant $500 for a total of $2,000 so far. Okay. So motion on the floor to grant $2,000 to the American Legion Post. Is there a second? Second, Mr. Lloyd. Any questions? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mr. Riley?
Yes.
Mr. McCarron?
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd?
Yes.
Ms. Grunebaum?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Okay, next one is Millsboro Historical Society is requesting $5,000 to help maintain the Jacob Godwin School. Last grant received for this program was the amount of $2,200, $200 for Ms. Grunebaum, $2,000 for Mr. Riley, and Mr. Riley placed on the agenda.
I will once again move to grant $2,000 for this.
Okay, motion, Mr. Riley, to grant $2,000 to the Millsboro Historical Society.
Second.
Second, Mr. Lloyd. So, Ms. Jennings, a question, $2,200 last time?
It was.
Okay, I will grant $200 to keep it the same as last year. Okay, we have a motion and a second to grant $2,200 to the Millsboro Historical Society. Are there any questions? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mr. Riley?
Yes.
Mr. McCarron?
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd?
Yes.
Ms. Grunebaum?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Okay, the next one is Speak Out Against Hate Association is requesting $3,000 for their student ambassador internship program. Last grant received for this organization was the amount of $500 for Ms. Grunebaum. Ms. Grunebaum placed on the agenda.
I will grant $1,500.
Okay, motion, Ms. Grunebaum, to grant $1,500 to Speak Out Against Hate. Is there a second?
Second.
Second, Mr. Lloyd. Any questions? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Ms. Grunebaum?
Yes.
Mr. McCarron?
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
And the last one is Bridgeville Apple Scrapple Festival is requesting $1,500 for their 34th annual Apple Scrapple Festival. Funds will be used to improve traffic and safety needs. Last grant received for this event was the amount of $3,000, which was $2,000 from Mr. McCarron, $1,000 from Mr. Lloyd. Mr. McCarron placed on the agenda.
I do have a question. Certainly this covers, this is one of two components I was hoping to help them fund. Their safety costs have exploded in the past few years, whether it's for traffic control or for police. And will they be able to, as we came to the end of the year, I wanted to address a portion of it. Will they be able to submit another application in August before the event starts?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. I just want to make sure. So, yes, I will fund the $1,500 from the second district.
Okay. Motion. Mr. McCarron to grant $1,500 to the Bridgeville Apple Scrapple. Is there a second?
Second.
Second. Mr. McCarron. Or Mr. Lloyd, sorry. Any questions on the motion? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mr. McCarron.
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd.
Yes.
Ms. Grunebaum.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Okay, next is introduction of proposed ordinances. Mr. Moore.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. We have one. And it's in your district, Mr. Hudson, an ordinance grant a conditional use plan in a GR general residential district for solar arrays to be located on certain parcel of land lying and being in Sussex County containing 45.57 acres, more or less.
Okay, I'll introduce it.
And that's the only one.
Okay, next, council member comments. Council member comments.
I'll say something.
Mr. Lloyd.
I saw recently we had a lot of senior level, say, staff out picking up trash on Friday off the sides of the road. So I just want to commend your all's efforts for that. I'm regrettable I wasn't out there picking up with you. Maybe shoot me a text next time.
Make sure you're invited next time.
If I'm here. That's all.
Thank you. Anyone else?
No, I'll be glad to be there, too. I just want to watch Matt pick up.
I wondered what he meant when he said senior level.
Yeah. I was kind of wondering that myself.
Where were you, Everett?
Okay, we'll entertain a motion to recess until 1:30 public hearings.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Lloyd?
Second.
Second, Ms. Grunebaum. Any questions? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mr. McCarron?
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd?
Yes.
Ms. Grunebaum?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. We are now in recess.